The following audio is from the Lifeway Church. For more information about the Lifeway, please visit our website at www.thelifeway.org.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to the Lifeway Church. Let's give yourselves a great hand. It's good to see each and every one of you. Come on, really clap. It seems like people are a little bit half asleep this morning. It's good to see each and every one of you this morning. My name is Andrew. I'm the lead pastor here at the Lifeway. We're thrilled that you're in service with us today. Our team has been working all week in anticipation for today's service today, and we're really glad to have you. Today is week three, the final week of our Blessed Life series. I'd ask how many of you have enjoyed the series, but I'm afraid no one will raise their hand, so I'm not going to ask that. I know this wasn't nearly as fun as the At the Movie series, but nonetheless, I believe that this is something that's challenged you. I hope that you all, in all the craziness of last week with the child dedication, we had a whole bunch of things going on. I failed to wish you guys all a happy Thanksgiving. I hope you all had a happy Thanksgiving last week. So give yourselves a hand and thank you for being patient with me for forgetting one of the best holidays that we celebrate. Compared to people around the world, how many of you would say that you are exceedingly blessed? So after the first 2 weeks of messages, after what you've heard, how many of you would feel that you're exceedingly blessed? Go ahead and raise your hand. Okay, yes. Most of us here, we all agree that we're exceedingly blessed. How many of you agree with Jesus when he said, it's more blessed to give than it is to receive? Go ahead and raise your hand, all right? So most of us, I agree to that. How many of you wish Jesus said it's more blessed to receive than to give? All right, well, there's a few. At least you're honest. Give yourselves a hand for the honest people here today. A mother wanted to teach her daughter a lesson, and so she gave the little girl a quarter and a dollar bill for church, and she said, pick whichever one you want and put the other one in the giving kiosk and keep the other one for yourself. And so when they were coming out of service on Sunday morning, the mother asked her daughter which amount she had given. And so the little girl said, well, I was going to give the dollar. I was going to, but the person that was leading in the offering said that God wants us to be cheerful givers. And she said, and I knew I'd be a lot more cheerful if I gave the quarter, so I did, all right? So how many of you ever had teaching moments and that's how they turn out, right, as parents, right? A lot of times that's the way that some people feel. Hey, I'm not going to give my money. I'm not going to give my time. I'm not going to give my resources. I'm not going to give anything to anyone. But in reality, when we do give, when we do give to others, when we do serve the church, when we do give to the church, we are actually serving and glorifying God. Proverbs 22:9, this is the key verse for our message today. If you've got your service guide, you can go ahead and pull out the service outline if you want to follow along with us this morning. It says this, he who has a generous eye will be blessed. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. Sometimes there's these scriptures you come across, and I don't know if you're anything like me, but I try to think of, well, what is a generous eye? What does a person look like? Is this like, you know, I know that there's green eyes and there's brown eyes, and they're like, is there like somebody like maybe they have an eye like Prince up here, like on the top of their forehead or something like this? But some of you may have an eye for talent. So some people here have an eye for fashion. Many of us here have an eye for food, especially after this week. Somebody said, that's good preaching right there, right? We have an eye for food. But Solomon in Proverbs here says that there is actually a generous eye where you go around and say, God, who can we bless? What do we have that you could use to make a difference in somebody else's life? When you have a generous eye, there's a promise there. It says that you will be blessed. So we're going to wrap up this morning the blessed life. And so in the first week of our study, we looked at a verse from Luke chapter 6 when Jesus said this. He said, give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full. In other words, you will be blessed. He goes on to say, press down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. When you give, it will be given back to you. That doesn't always necessarily mean that when you give money that you're going to get money back. Sometimes it does, but what it does mean is when you're generous, you will be blessed. You will receive back in many different ways. So here's the bottom line this morning. Our spiritual enemy, Satan, cannot stop the blessings of God. I want everyone to hear that. Our spiritual enemy cannot stop the blessings of God. It's a principle. If you sow, you will reap. If you sow, you will reap. When you give, you will be blessed. You cannot stop the blessings of God. But here's what Satan has a tendency to do. Because he can't stop what God can do, what he does is he tries to distort our relationship with the blessings of God. And this is what I believe that Satan is very good in many different ways at doing, is he's distorting our understanding of the blessings of God. And so I want to just point out two. There's more than two of them, but I want to show you two of these distortions that or wrong mindsets when it comes to the blessings of God. So we can, you know, recognize these and notice them when they come up in our lives and so we can have the right attitude towards God's favor. And so if you're taking notes, the first blank in your outlines is this. The first wrong response to the blessings of God is pride. Is pride. Those who are very proud of what they have. Jesus actually confronted this attitude with the church in Laodicea in Revelation 3:17. He said, "You say, I am rich. I have everything I want. I don't need a thing." Which if we were really honest, is quite particularly where a lot of people get when they are materially blessed. Yeah, I don't need God. I've got all of these other things. I'm okay. I don't need a thing. But Jesus goes on to say, and you don't realize that you're wretched, that you're miserable, that you're poor, that you're blind, that you're naked. You're proud of everything you have, but you've forgotten the source from where it came from. And this is the way that a lot of people, honestly, they respond to their blessings. They think, well, I earned this. I worked for this. I deserve this. Other people are lazy, but not me. I've done all of this. There's a spirit of entitlement. There's a spirit of pride. And then you may not see this just with people that have a lot, but sometimes there are people who don't have much, but they're still very proud. You know, if I had what he had, or if I had what she had, then I'd manage it the way that they do. And if I had all those blessings, here's what I do. When in reality, those who have a prideful attitude towards the blessings of God, they've forgotten what James said. Listen to what James said in 1:17. It says, "Whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from God our Father." They have forgotten the source of all the blessings, which is our good heavenly Father. So the first wrong response is pride. The second one, if you're following along, the next blank is this. It's shame. It's the opposite end of the spectrum. Some are proud of what they have, and others are a little more embarrassed. There are even some people who are blessed that even feel guilty. Listen to this, Genesis 32:29. Jacob was praying and he cries out to God and he says, "Lord, you who said to me, 'Go back to your country and your relatives and I will make you prosper.'" Then you can almost hear the shame. Listen to the next verse. He says, "I am unworthy of all the kindness and faithfulness you've shown your servant. I had only my staff when I crossed this Jordan River. I'm not good enough. I don't deserve it. I'm embarrassed by all of these things." Pride and shame. You've got those who would say, "I earned it and I deserved it," and others who'd say, well, actually, I'm kind of embarrassed. I don't really deserve this." You often see this play out if you've ever complimented somebody on something that they have. You know, suppose you say to someone, "Man, hey, I really like your shirt." And if you're proud, you're like, "Oh yeah, I got this at, you know, I got this at Macy's, and man, it's this brand, and I got it, it's this price," and they go into all the details about how much money they spent for their shirt. Or if you're ashamed of it, you're like, oh, this old thing, you know, this is nothing. I got this half price at the thrift store. And so what you're saying is, I'm ashamed of this. Or other people will be like, man, I really like your car. And you're like, well, it's a 2015 and it's leather and it's got heated seats and it's got air conditioned seats and the thing will drive by itself. I just push a button and it's got all these things. And then on the other hand, people are like, it's just a company car. It's not really mine. Or I like your house. We built it from the ground up ourselves. I mean, we put granite in it. It had all the fancy lighting in it, heated floors. It had all this stuff. Or on the other hand, I like your house. It's just nothing. We got it at an auction. It was a foreclosure. It's just a dump. But that's where we live. Pride and shame. And so what's interesting to me is I don't know any other areas that God blesses us that people are ashamed of, except when it comes to material and financial possessions. There might be out there, but I tried to think of them, but I couldn't think of anyone. I mean, if someone comes up to me and says, Andrew, you are so blessed with a great wife, I just say, thank you, I am. I don't go, I got her half price. You know, her dad paid me a lot of money to take her out of the house. I mean, you know, no, right? We don't apologize for things like that. Or people say, Andrew, you've got great kids. And I'm like, no, not really. I feel like I screwed them up half the time. No, what do we say? We simply say thank you. Yes, God has blessed me. And yet for some reason, when it comes to the areas of material blessing, there's often a pride like I earned it, or the shame where I feel guilty. Both are very unhealthy, and so many people live in one of these two areas. And I think it must crush the heart of God when we're proud of what we have, when we have this attitude of, I deserve this, and look at what I did, and look at what I accomplished. Listen, every good thing you have is a gift from God. Our good God says, I chose to give to you. I chose to bless you. The problem occurs when we have a dysfunctional relationship with the blessings, and we start to think that we earned them or they're all for us. And so I want to challenge you to remember that God blessed you this morning for a reason. For a reason. He didn't bless you because you deserved it. He didn't bless you because you earned it. He didn't bless you to make you feel blessed. He blessed you for a purpose. Paul was talking in 2 Corinthians 9:11, and he said this, as I believe God would even say the same thing to us this morning. He said, yes, you will be enriched in every way. Everybody say every way. Every way. Notice he didn't just say financially. If what you're pursuing is simply material blessings, can I tell you this morning that you are so undercutting God's favor? We're talking about blessings of every kind, you know, relational blessings, good health blessings, career blessings, intimacy, long trusted friendships and relationships. So he says you will be enriched in every way. Why? So you can spend it all on yourself? No, listen to what he says. You'll be enriched in every way so that you can always be generous. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. And then going on, it says, and when we take your gifts to those who need them, they will thank God. So why did God make you blessed? So that on every occasion you can say, so that it will flow right through me. So you can be generous to others on every occasion. And guess what happens when you're generous to others? Guess what people will do? That they're going to sit back and they're going to say, man, I thank God for that person. I thank God for what they did. I thank God that you came across my path and that he used you to be a blessing to us. This is really, in essence, what God said to Abraham in the Old Testament in Genesis 12, verse 2. He says, I will make you into a great nation. I will bless you and make you famous, and you will be a blessing to others. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who treat you with contempt, and all the families on earth will be blessed through you. Imagine this, that you have the potential for all the families on the earth to be blessed through you. You must remember where the blessings came from. They came from God. You must remember why you are blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. To sum up today's message in just one sentence, it's the next blank in your outline. It's this: because God has blessed us with more, we will intentionally give more. Because God has blessed us with more. We will intentionally give more. We are blessed with more. We want to be, we should be. The way we move into living a blessed life is we become a bigger blessing to others. The honest truth, if we could pass around the microphone, and I would start with me this morning, is that most of us are not intentional givers. Most of us are, we're actually intentional consumers, right? Aren't we? We're intentional consumers. Let's think about it. You know, you get a raise, right? How many of you have gotten a raise, right, at work? And what do we do? The first thing we think about is, what can I buy? Right? Oh, I got some more money. Where can we go? What can we get? What can I do, right? And so you get a little more and you think, well, how can I spend this on me? Most of us, we're intentional consumers, and if there's something we want, what do? We generally try to figure out a way to get it, don't we? You know, you're like, well, I'll save my money, or I'll clip coupons, or I'll wait till it's on sale, or even worse yet, I'll put it on the credit card, and then I'm going to end up paying double or triple of what it was worth anyway. But we figure it out. We intentionally consume. And I believe with all my heart that God is saying, I have blessed you, not so it can be all for you, but instead so you can intentionally be a bigger blessing around the world. And so I want to show you, as we wrap this series up today, I want to show you three types of givers. God wants us to grow in being even more faithful with the blessings that he's given us. The first type, if you're following along in your notes, of growing givers is what we would call, number one, the spontaneous giver, the spontaneous giver. Many of you are spontaneous givers. There's a great example of a spontaneous giver found in Luke 10. We're not going to read it, but you can go through if you'd like to after service or when you go home and read the whole story. But Jesus tells a story about a Samaritan who came across an injured guy that had been robbed, and he had been beaten, and he had been left on the side of the road for dead. And in typical fashion, a couple of religious people walk by this guy in need, and they say they're too busy, they don't want to be concerned, and they just pass this guy dying in the road. But the Samaritan says, you know what? I need to be generous. God's blessed me. I have a generous eye. I see a need I can meet, so I'm going to meet this. And so this guy stops by the wounded guy. He bandages him up. He puts some ointment on him, and he puts him on his donkey, and he takes him to the local Motel 6. And then watch what he said in Luke 10:35. It says, the next day he handed the innkeeper two silver coins, telling him, take care of this man. If his bill runs higher than this, I'll pay you the next time that I'm here. He was a generous guy. He had a generous eye, and he would be blessed because spontaneously he saw a need he could meet, and he met it. Another example, we mentioned this story in the first week of this series, was the boy with the small lunch, with the loaves and the fishes, and Jesus and the disciples are looking for food to feed this massive crowd of thousands of people. And so, you know, they're asking, does anybody have food to feed this big crowd? And the little boy, you know, didn't wake up that morning saying, well, I'm going to give my lunch away. He brought that lunch because he knew he was going to be hungry. But when the disciples came by spontaneously, he said, well, you've got a need. I can't meet it, but I can give you what I have. Here's my five loaves. Here's my two fishes. And so Jesus touched it. He blessed it. He prayed over it, and he multiplied it. And based on what was spontaneously given, the miraculous happened that day. And quite honestly, this is the way that most people give. And most people really are limited to spontaneous giving. Last week, I made an announcement for a special opportunity, a special offering that we're going to have to give to as a church. And without even thinking about it, there were people that didn't even need to go home and think about it, but there were people just that in 5 minutes afterwards just dropped something in for that offering. It's a great way to give, but if it's the only way that you give, you'll be very limited in what you can accomplish. And so I believe that there's actually a step up, and that's actually number two on your outline is this. It's what I would call a strategic giver. A strategic giver. It's a person who says, you know what, we're going to plan to be generous. We're gonna plan. Isaiah 32:8 says, but generous people plan to do what is generous. They plan. They actually sit around. They write it into their monthly budget. How can we be more generous? How can we have a generous eye? How can we maximize the blessings and that we have to help somebody else, to be a blessing to somebody else? And the verse goes on to say, and they stand firm in their generosity. They are strategic givers. Last week, we talked about being a strategic giver. We talked about giving our first and giving our best to God. And I will give God my first and best, and then he will bless the rest. And that really was what we spent a lot of time talking about last week, talking about the tithe. Strategically, I am honored to arrange my life around God. I am putting God first in my finances. I make this conscious choice to return to him 10% of what he trusts to me. It's not mine. It's actually his. I return the tithe unto God through the storehouse, his local church. I have planned and I have a strategy, and so I'm going to start there. We actually can read about this kind of generosity in Scripture when Abraham sends out his servant to find a wife for his son Isaac. He was strategic. He instructed his servants to load up his camels with all sorts of gifts, and he says, "Go present with these this proposed bride to be all of these riches and all of this jewelry." He thought ahead of time. He was strategic. He knew what it was going to take to get this young girl's attention. Think about, we're getting ready to move into the Christmas season. Think about the three wise men who journeyed to see Jesus. When they came to visit Jesus, they didn't come in and say, "Oh, how awesome, this is the Son of God," and think, "Oh my goodness, we really should have brought a gift. Do you got a quarter on you? Do you got something that we can give to Jesus?" No, what did they do? They thought ahead of time. They planned ahead of time. And so they said, "Let's bring our best gold and our best incense and our best myrrh." Why? Because generous people plan to be generous. As a church, we've tried to make it one of our philosophies, one of our core values is that we want to be a generous church. We try to give as much away as we possibly can, from the gift cards every week to coffee and donuts every Sunday morning, to journals, to Bibles, to t-shirts, to giving to other church plants around the world. The Scripture says, "He who has a generous eye will be blessed." And so there are those of you right now who you're spontaneous givers. And this is a good place to start, but God is calling each and every one of us to be strategic givers. The third level, if you're taking notes, number three, is called the sacrificial giver. The sacrificial giver. These are the ones that really recognize that all we have in this world is simply not for us, but it's all for God. You can be wealthy and be sacrificial. I don't want anyone to misunderstand me. Just because you're a sacrificial giver doesn't mean that you're poor and that you have nothing. In fact, Solomon, one of the richest men that ever lived, instead of sacrificing one bull, which was the standard, which was what was required when he was anointed to king, he said, "You know what? I want to give big." And so instead of giving one, he actually gave 1,000 bulls. He said, "You know what? I want to give big. I want to be sacrificial in what I do." David, another king in the Old Testament, when he had the chance to offer some oxen up to God as a sacrifice, a guy just trying to be nice and just trying to help came up to him and said, "Here, you can take anything that I have and offer it. Take what's mine, it's yours, and offer that as a sacrifice." And David said, No, you don't understand. I must pay for it. I will not sacrifice anything that didn't cost me something. I want to feel it when I give." And unfortunately, most people, most of us here, we want to give what's left over. Most people don't want to feel it, but there are some that are crazy enough to say, "If it all came from God, if he has need of it, I'm going to give it away anyway." There's a really beautiful story found in Mark chapter 12. It says this: Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple and watched as the crowds dropped in their money. How would you like that pressure? Jesus sitting by the giving kiosk as you walked out. That's pressure, right? You know, Jesus basically sitting there at church and he's sitting there in the lobby and he's watching the giving kiosk and he says, who's putting something in today and what are they giving? And so Jesus says here, many rich people put in large amounts. He's almost implying that it was relatively easy for them. But listen to verse 42. It says, then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called his disciples over to him and he said, I tell you this, the truth. This poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus. But she, as poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. It's sacrificial giving. You see, a lot of times people say, well, we don't really have much to give. No. You've always got something to give. Every one of us in this room have something to give. And when you have even less, that's when sometimes you can make the biggest sacrifice. So here's my prayer for you this morning. I hope that all of us here will give spontaneously, that we'll see a need and that we'll meet it. But don't stop there. I hope that you'll learn to give strategically, where it's a prayerful part of your monthly planning, just like you strategize what to get. You're going to strategize what you can give away. There are some of you, you're going to then move into this third part where you're going to be so fanatical and you're going to see God's blessing begin to rise in your life that you're going to say, you know what, we're actually willing to feel this. We can give above the 10% tithe and we can give offerings because we're going to give like only blessed people can. He who has a generous eye will be blessed. As we close out this series, The Blessed Life, know that God has blessed you to serve. You have been strategically placed here at the Lifeway Church at this time, at this moment for a specific purpose. One of my favorite scriptures in all the Old Testament is Jeremiah 1:5. He says this. He says, I knew you before I formed you in your mother's womb. Before you were born, I set you apart and I appointed you. Listen, God has a specific plan for your life. He didn't save you, or he didn't bless you to come sit in a chair every Sunday morning. And listen, we appreciate that you come and sit in a chair every Sunday morning, but he saved you. He blessed you to make a difference, to serve, to not only give financially, but also to invest your time and to invest your talents. In Matthew 25, there's a startling story about a master who's getting ready to go away on a long journey. And so before leaving, he takes three of his servants and he gives each of his three servants in a portion to their ability a sum of money. A few versions of the Bible actually refer to what he gave them. They use this word talents. Talents. And so while the master was gone, the one who had been given five talents, he worked hard and he invested and he doubled the five, and now he had 10. And the one who had been given two talents had also doubled the two, and now he had four. And so when the master returned from this long journey, they presented to the master what they had done with the sum of money, with the talents that they had been given while he was away. And listen to what the master said. He said, well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. But the servant who had been given one talent, remember there were three, the third one who had been given just one talent, he was afraid of the work. He was afraid to invest. He was afraid to get involved. He was afraid to sacrifice. He actually took the talent and he buried it in the ground. And when the master came back, he got out his shovel and he dug it out and he returned it to the master. Now, what I want you to notice this morning is that he didn't steal it. He didn't spend it on himself. He actually returned it to the master, but the master was so upset that he didn't use what he had been given. And I believe this is something that God wants us all to consider here this morning. And he says to this unfaithful servant, he says, to those who use well what they are given, even more will be given. And they will have and abundance, the blessed life, but from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Not only does God want us to be generous with our finances, but he wants us to be generous with our time and with our talents. Rick Warren said it this way. He said, when you give someone your time, you're giving them a portion of your life that you will never get back. Your time is your life. That is why the greatest gift you can give someone is your time. And I know that we're sitting here this morning and there are people that are gifted in the areas of administration and working with children and hospitality and first impressions and you've got these giftings, but you're currently not using those talents to further God's church. At the Lifeway, we believe that your life is never going to make sense until you find the place to serve that God has designed for you to fill in the local church. Now listen, I'm not talking up here saying that selfishly, right? Because we need people. Listen, God has always provided a team to get the work done. It gets done. Some weeks I don't know how it gets done, but it gets done. But listen, if your life is to make sense, you got to figure out why God placed you here and find a place that you can get in and serve and be part of a team that's making a difference in the lives of others. And when you find that role and when you fill that role, you're going to experience the blessed life. I think of my parents. Many of you know our missionaries in Nigeria. And if you even knew the half of what they had to live with, they've been there, I think, 18 years now. They have gone literally weeks in 100 degrees sweltering humid heat with no electricity. They can't open the windows because the mosquitoes then come in and then they get malaria. So they can't open the windows. And when they go through these periods of 2 and 3 weeks of no electricity, there's no air conditioner. I've been there nights like that. And you lay in your bed and you just sweat and sweat. When you finally fall asleep, the sweat is so bad it runs into your ears and it wakes you up. It is terrible. I mean, every piece of food they get has to be cleaned. And they've ground their own meat. And I mean, it's just like crazy the things that they do, they sacrifice. But why are they able to do it? Because it's what God designed them to do. It's what God called them to do. It's what God created them to do. And so they leave all the conveniences of a modern country and a beautiful home to go serve other people because there is a blessing on their life because they're doing what God has called them to do. Just last week, it was after service, there was a member of the church who came up and talked to me, and he's been helping us on the dream team for a few months now and just been a great blessing to our team. And he said, you know, I just wanted to share this with you, but you know, I'm busy, and if you know this guy's schedule, he works a lot of hours and spends a lot of time commuting. And he says, you know, but I knew that I needed to serve. I knew I needed to be involved. And he said, you know, just the other day, I was coming back from a business trip, and I'm sitting in the airport, and my boss called on the phone and wanted to talk with me and wanted to just ask some questions. And so the boss just began to explain to him how much they appreciated the work he was doing and how much they appreciated all the efforts. And they said, you know, we want to give you a raise. And he said, well, man, it's not even time for that. No, we want to give you a raise. And when raise time comes, that's going to be another raise then. And he says, I just realized because I've given to God, God's blessing now is being poured back out upon me. And I just want to challenge some of you here that have been maybe sitting on the sidelines, wondering if you should get involved, wondering if you should get plugged in. If you want the blessed life, we have to learn to be generous with our time. At the Lifeway here, we have needs in the area of setup teams and parking teams and kids' way team and kids' check-in team and the music team. If you have giftings in any of those areas, I challenge you to get involved and you're going to see the hand of God and his blessing upon your life. What you see and experience here on Sunday mornings doesn't just happen by accident. This only happens because we have a great team of people that come together, and this dream team comes together, and they commit, and they give of their time, and they give of their talent. And so I believe this morning God is going to nudge some people's hearts to say, hey, it's time to get off the sideline. It's time to stop being bystanders. It's time to get in the game. It's time to get involved in something that's bigger than yourself. If that's you this morning, on the back of your Connect card that Craig was talking about, there's a place on the back with all the different areas that we need people to help serve in if you're willing. But remember, this is the challenge, is it's more blessed to give than it is to receive. And so I pray that as a church, I pray that you as a person, I pray that you as a family, that we would become more blessed as we apply the principles of this series to our lives. As we close, I want to ask you some questions and I want to pray for you this morning. I wonder if we could, I don't normally do it quite like this, but I wonder if we could all just bow our heads and close our eyes. I want to just ask some questions because I want to be able to pray for you. I wonder if there's anyone here, would you be honest enough to say that you have a problem with the pride end when it comes to God's blessing and you think you've earned it? If that's you, could you lift your hands? Is there anybody there? There's a few people here. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Maybe you're on the shame end. Is there anybody here that's on the shame end where maybe you tend to feel shame for what? Thank you. There's hands here. Thank you. No one looking around. Another hand here. Thank you. Thank you. How many of you would say quite honestly that you're kind of more of a spontaneous giver and you're not yet strategic or sacrificial? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. There's hands up all over this place. Thank you. That's the way most people give. How many of you would say, you know, I've been coming to the Lifeway for a while. I've been checking it out. I've been coming, you know, for more than a while, and I believe that God's wanting me to get involved someplace on the team, to be a part of His church, to help see lives transformed. Is there anybody here that would fall into that group? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Hands here. There's another hand here. Thank you very much. Go ahead and open your eyes. I'm going to pray for all of you in just a few minutes. Some of you, if I could just be really honest, you may be like I've been for way too much of my life. You're actually more characterized by selfishness than you are generosity. And you know, really the root of selfishness, it's actually the very thing that keeps us from God. It's doing life my way. It's getting what I want, and it doesn't matter who I hurt. It doesn't matter what I do. Basically, our sinfulness is selfishness. God, I don't care about your standards. God, I don't care. I want to do what I want to do. I want to be me. Just let me be me. And the problem is when we have that attitude, our sinfulness, it actually separates us from a holy God. And so I want you to think about it as we're heading into this Christmas season, just what God did. He was so generous. He sent His one and only Son, Jesus. Little Jesus was born in a manger. He's wrapped in swaddling clothes. The scripture tells us basically these were just the precursor to the burial cloths that He would be wrapped in 33 years later. Jesus, God, robed in flesh. He was born to die. That's why He was sent. He was sent as the Lamb of God. On a cross, He shed His blood so that our sins could be forgiven. So that when you call on Jesus, when you ask Him to save you, guess what? He will. He will forgive every sin that you've ever committed. But here's the deal. Here's the deal this morning. What does He want in return? I'm going to tell you, you can't earn your salvation, but when you recognize what He did for you, the only reasonable response is to give Him our whole lives back. Those today who would say, you know what, yes, I call on Him to save me. Even more than that, I call on Him to take my whole life. I surrender every bit of it to Him. Once again, with every head bowed, every eye closed, we don't want to embarrass anyone here, but maybe God is knocking at your heart for the first time to commit your life to follow Him. Maybe at one point you had a deep relationship with Him, but for whatever reason you've drifted away and God is calling you to come back, to recommit your life to Him. If that's you, would you just raise your hand this morning? Is there anyone? Thank you. There's hands here. This is the best decision that you can ever make. God sees your hand. God sees your heart. This is the best decision you can make today. I wonder now if we could all just stand together in just a moment. We're going to pray. I'm going to pray for all of you that raised your hand to those questions earlier. After we're finished praying, we're going to sing a song together. And I challenge every person in this room to ask this question. In fact, I'd like you to say it out loud right now. God, what are you trying to speak to me this morning? God, what are you trying to speak to me this morning? We've got some leaders that are down here in the front. They're here to pray with you. If you need help in any area of your life, maybe it's something we talked about this morning. Maybe it's something else. Maybe you have a physical need or a spiritual need or an emotional need or a need in your relationship. If you want, you can come down to the front and we'll pray for you. Just step down into the aisle after we're done praying. Let's all pray together. Lord Jesus, Lord, I'm a sinner who needs your forgiveness.
Thanks for listening to this message. We hope you've been encouraged by it. If you'd like more information about The Lifeway, please visit thelifeway.org.